أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we are approaching very shortly to the beautiful and the awaited month of Ramadan, I thought today's lesson would be appropriate to be about two names of Allah that are very closely associated with the month of Ramadan. When Allah describes the rulings of Ramadan in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ, those verses, He follows the verses of Ramadan with a separate verse, and it is related to Ramadan, but it's on a different topic. It's not about the rulings of fasting. It's not about who can and can't fast. It's not about the penalty for missing a fast. Allah says, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, if my servants ask you about me, then I am near. I respond to the caller when they call. So let them respond to me and let them believe in me so that they may find the straight or the right way. Today we're going to cover two names of Allah. Allah's name Al-Qarib, the near, the close, and Allah's name Al-Mujib, the one who answers, the one who responds. And I want to start with this ayah in the Quran. And before, for you to understand the beauty and the majesty of this ayah that we just recited, I'm going to ask you all to volunteer me other ayahs in the Quran where Allah starts with the word, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ. Who can tell me? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Okay, give me another. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. Yes, gentlemen, be embarrassed. These little kids, be every time when they respond, I see the faces of the old uncles, it goes purple. We have to be proud of these youngsters, mashallah. Yes, Habibi. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. Yes. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلْ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Anyone else? Yes. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيطِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ. In all of these situations, there's a pattern. Yes, تفضل. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. قُلْ. Good. In all of these verses, there's a pattern. A group of people or an individual asks the Prophet ﷺ a question, and he doesn't know the answer, or he waits revelation. So Allah reveals, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you about X, whatever it is. قُلْ, tell them, this is the answer. All the verses in the Quran, there's almost 10 of them roughly, or more, I haven't done an exact count, they all have the same pattern. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ قُلْ. They ask you about this, Muhammad, tell them this. يَسْأَلُونَكَ قُلْ, يَسْأَلُونَكَ قُلْ. They ask you, tell them, they ask you, tell them. Except one ayah, where Allah makes in this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if my slaves ask you about me, he doesn't say قُلْ, he doesn't say tell them I am near. He just says, I am near. What's the difference? Who can tell me? Yes.
Telling is like.
Mm-hmm.
But then, it's exactly the
truth. Okay, it's exactly the truth. You're close. Yes.
It cuts out the middleman.
You're cutting out the middleman. Yes. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates this situation in the Quran, O Muhammad, they're asking you a question, tell them this is the answer. There's always a middleman. There's the person with the question, there's the Prophet, and Allah. So it's like rebounding. The question rebounds from the Prophet to Allah. Allah responds, rebounds it from the Prophet to the people. Except in one situation. When the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, is Allah close or is he far? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, tell them I'm close. He cut out, he removed the messenger from the equation. To show you he really is close. You don't need the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the middle. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. There's another thing there as well. When the Prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if he didn't say, if people ask you about me, he said, if my slaves ask you about me. He attributed us to himself. You know when somebody gets angry with their child or with their cousin, he says, look, I have nothing to do with them anymore. You're not my son anymore. Get lost. I don't want to see your face. But one of the ways of honoring someone is to say, you are from me. You are mine, my son, my beloved. It's a way of love for Allah to say, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. If my slaves, they are mine, they belong to me. They are my beloveds. When they ask you, O Muhammad, about me, step aside, I'm going to answer them myself. إِنِّي قَرِيب, I am near. And then he adds to that. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. He used the word dua three times. I respond to the caller when he calls. Whenever he calls, I'm going to respond. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Why don't they also respond to me? وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. Why don't they also believe in me? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. In this verse of the Quran, as in many others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us what it means when we say Allah is qareeb, Allah is near to us. We all have companions and friends in life. Some of our friends, they are distant, like distant relatives. You know, the cousin's cousin's cousin. And some of them are close. What's the difference between someone we consider distant, far, and someone we consider close? What's the difference between these two? Let's say you have somebody you work with, but you're not close to them. And somebody you say, this is my best friend. What's the difference between these two people? Yes. Okay, you talk to them more often if they're closer to you. Yes.
You will know them more. So mm-hmm. You can ask them even more. You can...
Okay, you know them even more and you can ask them, you can relate to them more. Yes. You might meet with them more often. Yes.
They are present when you need them.
They are present when you need them. Yes. Yes.
They have a special place in your heart.
They have a special place in your heart. Yes.
You share your secrets with them.
Yes, you share your secrets with them. Beautiful. Yes. You feel more connected to them. Yes.
Trust them more.
Sorry? You trust them more. Yes. You give them quality time. Yes. Anything else? These are the signs of closeness to Allah. If someone is close to you, if you're in a let's say when you have a car accident, who do you call? That's the person who's close to you. Because you don't feel shy to call them. You don't feel any haraj, any embarrassment to call on them. Hey man, I'm stuck in a car accident. I need your help. He said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. How many people are there like that in our lives? There's very few. They're reliable. This is what? Mujib. Because not every close person is responsive. We have people who are close to us. Maybe cousins, friends, best friends. But if you say, Salaamu Alaikum, I'm in trouble. I need a loan. They say, I'm really sorry, I'm busy, call me next week. They're close, but they're not responsive. They don't reply to us as often. They don't come back to us as often. This is why mujib is very important. Mujib from ajaba yujibu, to respond, to reply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't just close to us, but He responds. Now you might think, hold on a second. You know, we all have that person in our lives very close to us. We trust more, we communicate more, we feel a special connection, they have a special place in our heart. When we're in trouble, we'll call them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not this for me. And still Allah is near. How? You may not be near to Allah, but Allah is still close to you. You may not be near. You might feel yourself far from Allah, but Allah is still close to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ we created the human being, and we know what whispers, what they their self whispers to them. We know what the voice in their head is saying. Things that nobody else knows, we know it. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are closer to them than their jugular vein. The jugular vein in the human body. Any doctors in the house can tell us something about the jugular vein? Where's Dr. Muhammad? He's not here. Yes, the jugular vein. If you cut that vein, a person will die very quickly. The blood flow is very quick. It's vital to the human body. Just as this vein is needed to the human body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need him more than that vein. He's more closer to you than this vein. Not physically, but in his knowledge and the way he looks after you. And in his closeness to your thoughts. You know, to think that Allah knows the darkest thoughts that come to you, that nobody knows, that nobody could hear. And if people knew that you were thinking those things, they'd run away from you. Allah knows those things about you. That's what it means. Allah is qareeb. He's not a distant bystander. But he knows each and every one of us. He knows our secrets. And he knows what we openly show. And he knows the real us. He's near. So he's near in one sense that he knows everything about us and the whispers that we have within us. But he's near in another sense, because when we call on him, he will respond. This is Al-Mujib. This really, it comes about in a beautiful way in the lives of the prophets alayhimu salam. I'm going to take you to visit the lives of some of the prophets of Allah. How did they interact with Allah's name Al-Qarib? Musa alayhi salam is standing in front of the sea. Behind him, a cloud of sand. Hundreds and thousands of horses with their hooves clattering on the sand. The clashing of swords, the screaming of roaring voices. And behind him, as far as the eye can see, he has a huge population of Banu Israel. When they see the army of Fir'aun is coming, they give up. Inna la mudrakun. We are finished, we are drowned, we are taken. It is at this moment, while they feel Allah is too far to help them, Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond this situation. He's not going to come and help us. No one's going to help us. We're going to drown. Musa alayhi salam feels Allah is with him in this moment. قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. No, he says, Allah is with me. Ma'iyatullah. You know, in some of these, you see in some of these documentaries, police documentaries, action movies, when the FBI or one of these police agencies, they send an agent in the field and they put an earpiece. Let's say they've gone to protect some high-value individual, or they've gone to protect the public from something. They're wearing an earpiece. And there's a group of people sitting in a caravan somewhere or in a high-security area, and they're looking at all the CCTV cameras. They're saying, walk left, walk right, be careful, somebody's coming front, somebody's coming from behind. All of this is happening. And although those people are sitting far away, for this man or this person, as they run about the streets, they're in their ears. They're qareeb, they're close to them. And they're their eyes and ears, they're telling them everything that's happening, left, right, center, someone's coming from behind, duck now, someone's coming from the right, watch out for the next street. They are telling them everything. They have a full view of the situation. What happens to that one individual who's running around trying to do something? They feel safe, because a group of individuals with all the cameras in the city are protecting them, telling them where to go, left, right, and center, what's happening around them. And so they feel safe. This is one of the mindsets that we have when we remember Allah is close, Allah is near. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not someone distant from the situation. When we are stuck, when we have no way to turn, when we are in a situation, sometimes, you know, a friend or a cousin or a parent or a sibling might ask us, tell me what's going on. You say, look, you're not even going to understand my situation. I can't explain to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We don't have to explain to him. We just have to look. We just have to raise our hands. He knows the situation. When we say Allah is qareeb, it is reassuring for those of us who are stuck, for those of us in difficulty, for those of us in a difficult situation, that no matter how difficult the situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all and He sees all and He's protecting us and He's showing us which way to go in that situation. We have to wait for the signal from Allah. When we say Allah is qareeb, Allah is near, we have to understand another thing. How can we become near to Allah? And how can we experience this closeness to Him? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Be patient for the ruling, for the decision, the decree of Allah, because you are within our eyes. You are within our sight. We can see you. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. And glorify the name of your Lord when you stand up at night. You think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing in the cave as he looked up, a group of men out to kill him. As he looked on his right, just one man with him, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. In this moment, even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq forgets Allah is close to the situation. But the Prophet reminds him, O Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnayn illahu thalithuhuma. What do you think if I told you we are two, but Allah is the third, He's with us right now. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam expresses his fear, Allah tells him, go and speak to Fir'aun. He says, I'm scared, I can't do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا تَخَافَا إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Don't be scared, I'm with you. I hear and I see. In this situation, Musa alayhi salam is reassured. There is never a moment in his life, in your life, in my life, except Allah is with us. In His knowledge, in His sight, in His hearing. He's close to every situation, never far. But if we feel in our heart a little bit of distance towards Allah, we should realize something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never went anywhere. It is you and me that went far from Him. How do we become close to Allah just as He is close to us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us in the hadith of Abu Huraira in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. I am going to be as my slave expects me to be. What does that mean? If you expect Allah to be unforgiving, to be harsh, then will your sins be forgiven? If you expect Allah to be forgiving, He will be forgiving. If you expect Allah to fulfill His promise and to grant victory and support and aid to the believers, He will grant His aid and His support. We have to have a good expectation of Allah. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي. But the point of this hadith really that we should pay attention to is what I'm about to say. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذْ ذَكَرَنِي. And I am with Him when He remembers me. Imagine one day you are in some rural place in the countryside driving on your own. And one moment you say, La ilaha illallah. You remember your Lord. To imagine when you remember Allah that He is with you. Wa ana ma'ahu idh dhakarani. In that very moment Allah is with you. But listen more. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. If my slave, Allah says, mentions my name by himself, I will mention him or her by myself. Imagine when you say the name of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions your name. Can you imagine this honor? You know, when sometimes we see these awards, the Oscars, the global awards for this and that, people feel so honored that their name has been mentioned, such that when they get the award, they come, they start the thanks. I want to thank my cat. I want to thank my cousin for all of his help. I want to thank my aunt for all of the time she saved. Everyone's name is mentioned. Why? Because when the name is mentioned in that gathering, that person feels honored. When you open a book, what's the first page in the book? Acknowledgements. I want to thank my mama and my dad for helping me write this book. Why? Why mention their names? Because when you mention someone's name, it is an honor, it is a respect, it is an appreciation of them. And when you remember Allah, to even fathom that Allah mentions your name. Your name. And when you mention Allah in a gathering, Allah mentions your name in a better gathering, in the gathering of the angels. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. And if you come to Allah, close to Allah, if you come closer to Allah, the length of a hand, Allah will come closer to you, the length of an arm. وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ بَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. And if you come to Allah, closer to Allah, the span of an arm, He will come closer to you, the span of an elbow, He will come to you, the span of an arm. وَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَهُ. And if you come to Allah walking, He will come to you running. Of course, this hadith is not to be taken literally, according to the vast majority of the scholars. What does it mean when Allah says, if you come to me this much, I will come to you that much? What does it actually mean? Do you physically walk towards Allah? Yes.
It means following what Allah says.
Okay, following what Allah says. Yes. What about you, young man? Yes.
And get close to Him, mm-hmm. He'll get even closer to you.
Okay, if you make the effort to get close to Allah, Allah will get even closer to you. Yes.
If you always
if you remember Allah all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember you as well. Anybody else? What does it mean to come closer to Allah, to walk to Allah, to run to Allah? What do these words actually mean? Practically, how do we do this? Yes. Answering the call of Allah. What kind of call?
Like the prayer, for example.
Okay, for example, the call to prayer. Ishaq? Good. Very important. Taking practical steps, going to reminders, going for salah, etc. Yes. Doing anything that pleases Allah. You know what the point of this hadith is? That if you want to feel the closeness of Allah to you in your life, with His help, and with the peace of mind that He gives you, and with His tawfiq, the ability and the strength that He gives you, and in your times of distress, if you want Him to come to your aid and your assistance, you have to make some effort. As they say, you cannot clap with one hand. Have you seen anybody clap with one hand? How many hands do you need to clap? You need two hands. Yeah? Maybe with your face. That's called a slap. It's not called a clap. Yes? MashaAllah. Binti liked the joke, inshallah. It's good. You were going to say something. Good. Making Allah the priority in your life. Yes. Beautiful. There's another hadith about this. Yes, the optional prayers. Another hadith explains to us. Yes, Habibi. You both put your hand up. Let the older one go first. That's adab.
It's in terms of effort, so Allah will give more because he never wants to be.
Ah, subhanAllah. You cannot be out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be outdone by you. Yes, yes. Beautiful. I'm going to tell you all a hadith that will explain to us how can we come closer to Allah just as He is close to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in hadith of Abu Hurairah, in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala qal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man aada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb. Whoever makes an enemy out of my close ones, Allah says, I will wage war upon them. So how do I become one of these close people that gets the protection of Allah? If someone comes after me, Allah is going to be at war with them. How can I achieve this status of closeness to Allah? The hadith continues, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. The most beloved way for my servants to come closer to me is to do the things I commanded them to do, the things that are obligatory for them to do. You know, when you come for salah, maghrib, dhuhr, asr, when you fast in Ramadan, some of us, we do it with the attitude, oh gosh, I've got to do this. Obligation. I have to do it. Oh man. We don't realize this obligation that we think is a chore, it's a burden. This is the best way to attain the closeness to Allah. Now you're doing all the obligations. You are enjoying the obligations. You're doing them with the soul of happiness, with the pleasure. What's next? I want to know what's next. How do I achieve a higher status with Allah? Allah tells us, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my slave will continue to come closer to me with optional acts of worship. The prayer at night, fasting the Monday, charity which you are not commanded to do, you are not obligated to do. The more we do these optional deeds, we get closer to Allah until we reach a special status. The status that all of us should be aiming for, al-mahabba, to reach a state where Allah loves us. What happens when Allah loves you? So what? Allah explains, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. When I love someone, may Allah make us all of them. كُنْتُ سَمَّعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become the hearing with which they hear. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّتِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. And I become the eyes with which they see. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا. And I become the hands with which they strike. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. And if they ask me, I promise I will give them. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي. And if they ask my protection, لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. I will definitely protect them. This is maqamul wilaya, reaching the state of closeness, the close friends of Allah. And the way to that closeness and to achieving that nearness to Allah and to experiencing the closest to Allah is the things He told us to do, the obligatory acts of worship, the optional acts of worship. And to give you an analogy to our life, to love that we experience in this life, it's not comparable to the love of Allah. But let me give you an example. When one of you loves a lady and you want to marry her, first, you buy her flowers. Yes, the flower is faridah, it's obligatory. It's not nafila, it's not option. You provide the flowers. When the flowers make them happy, you take them on a holiday. You take them first to Skegness, not abroad. It's the first step, we're still in the faridah. Right, this is all the obligatory part. And you want to attain more love from this person, you want to attain more closeness to this person, you buy them gifts. You give them special gifts, tokens, a nice note, a special this, a special that, the things that they especially like. You get closer to them, you take them abroad on holiday. You take them for Umrah. You buy them more extravagant gifts. You do more sentimental things for them. You sacrifice your time, your sleep for them. Until you get to a level where you love one another. And this is an analogy for our relationship with Allah. But in reality, what we do is we give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a few pennies from our back pocket. And then we say, why doesn't Allah love us? For our wife, our husband, our friend, our best friend, we will do a lot more. How much thinking goes into the present, the gift, the qurbah, the thing we do to attain their love? And how much thought do we put into the things we give to Allah? We put a lot less thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the afterthought. It's a quick thing. You know? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. That's for Allah. But for my beloved, a love letter that is 3 pages long. Oh Allah. Appreciating all of the things from this person and all of their beauty and describing all of this for the person to attain the love of someone, a human being. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can only speak with the most brief of words and we give Him the least of our minds. When we talk about closeness to Allah and we go to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tells him to say in Surah Sabah, قُلْ إِن ضَلَلْتُ فَإِنَّمَا أَضِلُّ عَلَى نَفْسِي. O Muhammad, tell them, if I am lost, then I'm only misguiding myself. وَإِنِ اهْتَدَيْتُ فَبِمَا يُوحِي إِلَيَّ رَبِّي. But if I am rightly guided, then that is only because of what my Lord has revealed to me. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. My Lord is hearing and He is near. In this moment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam warns the disbelievers. So now Allah's name, Qareeb, it has a different light. Yes, Allah is close to you. Allah responds to you. Allah is with you in your difficult situations. Allah is reassuring you, but it has a different meaning as well. When people reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they look at His signs and they say, there's no God. When they look at His signs and His reminders and they say, I don't really need to pray. I don't need to fast. Charity is not my thing. There's another meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens people with the name Al-Qarib. In this verse in Surah Saba, the Prophet ﷺ tells the disbelievers around him, look, if you think I'm misguided, then I'm only misguiding myself. But if you see I'm rightly guided, you think I'm doing the right thing, if it all makes sense to you, then that is all from Allah. My Lord is hearing Sami'un Qareeb and close. He's hearing your response to my reminder. And he's close to you, close enough to cause a complete wreckage to you if you reject it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two sides. The beauty and the might. The fear and the hope. And even in this name, Al-Qareeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He's qareebun min al-muhsineen. He's close to the doers of good. Inna rahmat Allahi qareebun min al-muhsineen. Inna nasr Allahi qareeb. His victory is near. His help is near. Yes, but also the punishment of Allah can also be near. Don't think that you and I are far and that we will never be accounted by the punishment of Allah. Don't think that you and I are above, are beyond being punished, being severely taken by Allah. We are. It can happen. And it can be closer than you and I think. That gives us the sensation, the idea, the mindset that we should never feel safe. Never feel safe. If you sit for too long, you will start to develop a nice karsh, as they say in Arabic, a nice belly. But if you're always insecure about your weight, you always go exercising, you'll never be overweight. Never feel secure about yourself, about your deeds, about your pathway, your ticket to Jannah. You know, one of us, we register for something. We say, look, I don't have to worry. My seat has been booked. My seat has been booked. But is your seat in paradise booked? Is there a guarantee? Is there a reservation? You know, sometimes today there are some budget airlines, some, you know, very cheap tickets you buy where you don't even get a seat on the airline. You have to pay extra to choose your seat. Jannah is like this. When we are believers, we have iman, we know we're going to be somewhere in the airplane, but you cannot guarantee your seat. Always be worried about yourself. Always be concerned about your deeds. Always look at the shortfall in your deeds. Never think, I'm relaxed, I'm going to be fine. Because just as the mercy of Allah is close, Adabullah is also close. The punishment of Allah is close. قُلْ إِنْ أَتَاكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ بَغْتَةً أَوْ جَهْرَةً هَلْ يُهْلَكُ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the punishment of Allah comes to you at any moment, only the criminals are going to be destroyed. It can come at any moment. بَغْتَةً, as Allah says in the Quran, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and you won't even be aware. This economic crisis, an earthquake, you could lose your job. You could lose your means of living. You lose your marriage, your spouse, your family, your child passes away in a car accident. The punishment of Allah can come at any moment. We have to be on our toes. If we are not moving closer to Allah with our actions, are we moving closer to the punishment of Allah with our actions? In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His name Al-Qareeb in a different light. We talked about Allah Al-Qareeb, the close, the near. His mercy is near, His support is near, His help is near. We said Allah's punishment, it can also be near. Now we're going to talk about Allah's name Al-Qareeb in a different light. And I'm going to ask you to tell me, what can we draw from this ayah? You're all ready. You're all falling asleep because the radiators are always on, the heat is always nice and cozy. You sit on the back, relax on the walls, and then slowly but surely, we have a nice nap. You know, when I first started delivering khutbahs a long time ago, there was one person I had designated to be my critic, to tell me, is the khutbah good or bad? And every time I'd stand on the minbar and start, inna alhamdulillah, I'd look and they would be snoring. And at the end, I'd ask them, how was the khutbah? Great, very good. I said, yeah, of course, very good. Because you were dreaming about the khutbah, right? So, they call this ghaflatul salihin, you know, the heedlessness of the righteous, you know, when you just have a nice nap. But we're not here to nap. So you're going to tell me, what can you draw from this ayah? Allah says in the Quran, and the context is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His prophet Hud to the people of Ad. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And the first thing that Hud says to the people of Ad, he says to them, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. He tells his people, seek forgiveness of Allah and come back to Him. Indeed, Allah is close and He will respond to you. He's talking to non-Muslims, he's calling them to Allah, and he's saying to them, ask Allah's forgiveness and come back to Him, because Allah is close and He will respond to you. What can we take from this ayah? Uncles, do you want to let the kids always win? Are we gonna go home embarrassed once more? Yes. You don't qualify as uncle, but we'll let you start. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's telling the non-Muslim to come back to Allah. Allah is always ready to accept. Yes, what else? Yes.
He describes himself as gharib. Even if you've gone so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still close to you.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you go 1,000 steps from Allah, it just takes one step to come back to اللهم استغفرك واتوب اليك. When the prophets speak to their people and they call them to believe in Allah, what's always in the back of their mind is, we have done so much wrong, so many sins, so much crime. Really, is there really a chance to come back to Allah? And so when the prophets speak to their people, they don't speak to them with harshness. You're all going to hellfire. No. They speak to them to give them hope. Whatever you have done, my friend, whatever crime you have committed, everybody has skeletons in the closet. Everybody has sins. Everybody has done wrong. Who can say that they can stand in front of Allah with what they have done? Who can say, I have done enough good that I can stand in front of Allah and say, where's my seat in Jannah? We are all sinners. But, Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib. Whatever you have done, however far you have gone, it is only one step to come back to Allah. Ya Allah. And this is why the message of the prophets, alayhimu salam, the message of the prophets, the default was they would give people a message of hope. Bashiran wa nadhira. They would not just be warning them with scary punishments, they were giving them hope, because people are always conscious. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I believe it was Amr ibn al-As, when he came to accept Islam. Now remember, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn al-Walid, these are names we know as Prophet's companions, right? They are people who plotted against the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They caused the death of believing men and women because of their deeds. And one, I believe it was Amr ibn al-As, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give me your hand to accept Islam. He hesitates. Prophet says, what's wrong? He says, O Prophet of Allah, what about everything I have done? Sometimes this is what holds us back from worshipping Allah, from praying at night, from ascending the ranks to the closeness to Allah that we all want to have, that experience, that closeness. What holds us back is we always think, there's no point. Look at me, I'm such a mess. Look at me, what I have done. Is really Allah going to give me some spot with the VIPs in paradise? Yes, He can. And yes, He will. These very people who were criminals against the believers, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn al-Walid today. We can't say their names without saying radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with them. Because when they said, O Prophet of Allah, what about everything I've done? He said, al-Islamu yajibu ma qablahu. Islam will wipe everything that you have done. And this is a dua we make in Ramadan. Allahumma a'tiq riqabana min al-nar. O Allah, free our necks from the fire. Make us of those you have wiped. That's the meaning of afu. We talked about Allah's name, al-afu, afu. Afu in Arabic is to wipe something such that there's no trace of it behind. So the prophets of Allah, when they would talk to the people around them, the non-Muslims around them, they would remind them that whatever you have done, whatever life you have, sometimes you come and you meet a non-Muslim. Once it happened, you know, I was young, I was a teenager, and I went for 3 days, right, with Jamaat al-Tabligh. I was 14 years old, and I was trying to learn my deen. And I went with my local Jamaat al-Tabligh. And I remember going there, and there was a gangster from Thailand who had tattoos all over his body. And I was thinking, subhanAllah, what is this guy going to do in 3 days? And he was still a non-Muslim, right? And he didn't speak English. So there was a, you know, somebody speaking Urdu, and someone's translating for him in German. And, you know, I said, this guy, he's so far. How is he going to come close to? How is it going to happen? And you know, I still remember, I'll never forget the image. On the third day, in the darkness of the night, I'm snoring in my, you know, my peaceful sleep. And I just wake up. You know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you wake up. And I see everybody's asleep, except this guy standing in Salah with all his tattoos. He converted to Islam one day before. He's standing in Salah the whole night until Fajr. And I'm just hearing his sobs and his cries. The path to Allah is not long. It is just one word. One moment of genuine istighfar, of genuine repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein. The name of Allah, Al-Qarib and Al-Mujib. Ultimately, one of the greatest things it reminds us is that we have to be constantly in conversation with Allah. Al-Mujib means Allah is responsive. There are people in this gathering, they have a WhatsApp reply rate of 5 working days. You see they're online, but you get the reply after 1 week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like that. Allah says, "Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an." I will respond when you call at that moment. But what is the difference with Allah? When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do we deal with dua? We treat dua like Amazon shopping on Amazon. You go on Amazon.com, what do you want? T-shirt? Click, add to basket. What do you want? Mobile phone? Click, add to basket. Next day delivery. Next day you look, where is my delivery? When we make dua to Allah, we deal with dua as though it is a transaction. Allah, I want this and this and this. After 1 week, the clock is ticking, Ya Allah. Where's the Lamborghini that I asked for? Where's the next day delivery? Khalas, okay, not next day, at least 3 days. This is how we deal with dua. Dua is not a shopping basket. Dua is a heartfelt conversation with Allah. Anybody in your life, if you deal with them like this, they'll stop talking to you. If you only spoke to your wife when you needed food, Salaam alaikum, this, this and this, I want to see on the table in 1 hour. You'll come home, لَن تَجِدُهُ شَيْئًا. You'll find nothing on the table maybe. Yes? If everything is transacted, your parents, Salaam alaikum Baba, pick me up this time, this place. Ya Allah, ma'a salama. Boom. Transaction. How would you be not ashamed to speak to your father or your spouse or your cousin like this? That you only speak to them when you need them. The dua, when you know Allah is qareeb, He's close, Allah is mujib, He responds. The dua is a heartfelt conversation with Allah. And one of the greatest conversations in the Quran. Sorry, you had your hand up.
I'm just going to comment on that.
Yes.
After listening to a little while ago.
Beautiful.
He didn't specify the mutri mu'min or.
Beautiful, yes. In this ayah, when you say yujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an, it means any caller, an-nakira, tufidu al-umum, as the linguists say, any person can call upon Allah. But sometimes we think, you know, we meet somebody, we say, make dua for me, please. Why? Only the special people can talk to Allah. That's what we think, right? No problem. Hussein's mom is looking for him. Hussein. Ah, Jazakumullah khair. MashaAllah. Hussein is Mujib. He responded. Good. He responded to his mom's call. But that there's a consequence if he doesn't respond. So that's a different kind of call. Yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to anyone who calls him when he calls. One of the greatest examples, if you want to see a model dua, an example, how do you speak to Allah? There's two that I can ask you to go and see. The first is the dua of Zakariya. Now, what is Zakariya's need? Alayhi salam. Who knows? What's his problem? What's his situation? Yes?
To have a child.
He wants a child. How long has it been since he's had a child?
Never.
Sorry?
Never.
He's never had a child. How old is he? Anybody know? Roughly. Yeah? He's very old. You know, 80, 90, 100. We don't know exactly what age. All he wants from Allah is a child. But look how Zakariya alayhi salam talks to Allah. Who can start the ayah, Surah Maryam? Yes. Innaka sami'a du'a. Beginning of Surah Maryam. Mm-hmm. Dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya. Aha. إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا. He calls up out to Allah in silence. قال ربي إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا. Oh Allah, my bones are weak and my hair is gray. ولم أكن بدعائك ربي شقيا. But I will never give up in asking you, Ya Allah. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. And Allah, I fear nobody will be there after me. وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. And my wife is unable to have children. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. But still, it's impossible. Oh Allah, biologically impossible. Oh Allah, please give me a son. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. Let him inherit from me prophethood that I inherited from Yaqub. وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّ رَضِيًّا. And oh Allah, make him pleased with me and make me pleased with him. You know, he doesn't start the dua saying, oh Allah, I want a son, please. 3-day delivery, please. He starts, oh Allah, my bones are weak, my hair is gray. He is breaking down in front of Allah. He is confessing to Allah. He is raw with Allah. Be raw with Allah. Don't be fake with Allah. Don't give any one-line orders to Allah. Be raw, be you, be genuine. Break down in front of Him. And you see, the response will be nothing like you imagined. The way you ask Allah, so too the response will be the same. You ask Allah like this, oh Allah, I want this tomorrow. The ijabah will be just like the dua. The response is going to match the way you asked Him. You ask Him with tears, breaking down in the last third of the night. Pouring out your heart to Him, and you see you'll get a response you never expected before. Try it. Al-Mujib, the one who responds, but he doesn't respond the same way to everyone. There are different ways in which he responds. And the way you ask dictates the way he responds. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ النَّاخِلَةَ مِنَ الدُّعَى. Allah does not accept dua. Allah does not respond well to dua that is lazy. He only responds to the dua that is asked with genuineness from the bottom of your heart. Make a plea to Him, beg Him, and you see the response will be different. Whenever the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is the second model dua in the Quran. Look at the dua he makes in Mecca. As he leaves his children in the middle of nowhere. Rabbi inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in 'inda baytika al-muharram. Oh Allah, I've left my children in the middle of nowhere, but they are next to your sacred house. Look at the way he talks to Allah. But the first thing he asks Allah is not food, not survival. Rabbana liyuqimu as-salah. He prioritized what Allah wanted him to prioritize. Today you go to Mecca, it's all the response to the dua of Ibrahim. Everything you see there is a response to the dua of one man who asked Allah in a genuine way. Never limit your ambitions when you ask Allah al-Qarib al-Mujib. When Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he makes a mistake, He asks Allah, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. Oh Allah, forgive me and give me a kingdom you give no one after me. This is ambition. Look at the scale at which he asks Allah. Don't ask Allah for a peanut, ask him for a farm of nuts. Don't ask Allah for something small. You are asking one who has his reserves do not end and he has no limit to his supply. So why are you being small, modest in the way you ask him? One day, a group of companions were walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever they would get to the top of a valley, they would loudly say, Allahu Akbar! And they would make dua to Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, irba'u ala anfusikum, speak calmly, fa'innakum la tad'una asamma wa la ghaiba. You are not talking to someone blind or deaf or absent. Innahu ma'akum, he is with you. Innahu sami'un qareeb, he is hearing and he is close to you. Say to Allah the things you never say to anybody else. Share with Allah the secrets you never share with anyone else. Talk to Allah when everybody has turned away from you. Turn to Him when everyone has turned away. Call upon Him when no one else is responding. This is what Musa alayhi salam did in front of the sea, what Yunus alayhi salam did in the belly of the whale, what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam did in the darkness of the cave, what Yusuf alayhi salam did when standing in the prison. Call upon Allah, because there is no impossible situation except that He will make it real. Innahu qareebun, sami'un, mujib. He is near and He is responsive. Barakallahu fikum wal afu minkum wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.